he's right here, so. Oh, we topped it. He cold topped it.
Okay. Gotta go. Yeah.
Eight iron.
Oh, we shanked it. Oh, look at that line, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy, is he out of sync.
Welcome to the Bogey Boys podcast.
You're joined here by Kevin and Mark, as always. We're back in our usual spot.
Yeah, no live this week.
Yeah, a bit of an scheduling issue with content live, wasn't there? So
yeah, how's things, mate?
I feel a lot less pressure than last week. Just to have a little chat and a chinwag with you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
probably couldn't have come at a better time, really, could it? With Mia the weekend.
Yeah, no, but I enjoyed the day. Good group of lads.
Good group of lads, like, but then the lads playing behind us all coming with like 40 odd points each, and like
we're struggling with 30 points
from all accounts. They don't know how to take a drop, so it's like wow. I'd go back again though. Would you play Mia?
Yeah, lovely track.
I seen some of the names on that Mia trophy, like, I wouldn't mind sticking mine there. Obviously,
you gonna have a go?
It wasn't Joe Brooks, was it?
Definitely not. No, we tagged Joe Brooks, the professional, tweet and
the post
that we done on the story, and he just messaged saying it's not me, sorry lads.
It's great that doing it.
Yeah, brilliant. Ernie Els was on there though.
Yeah,
yeah.
Was that? Did we get to the bottom of that?
Well, he didn't message us back, did he? Yeah.
I said, "Is that you, bro?"
But yeah, Ernie Els, 1989, won it. Kinnear.
Yeah, Slats.
Scotty Howarth.
Yeah. Boss.
Good list. Names, Kevin Whittaker coming soon.
Have to figure out a way to break an 80 and need to break 70.
At least.
Got a jumper stage again.
Yeah, definitely.
But speaking about breaking 70, big Richie Mansell qualified for the Open there. See him?
He did, yeah. Qualified for the Open. We had a few qualified, 12 in total.
Yeah.
And over the four regions, top three. We've got an interview that we pre-recorded earlier with Daniel Croft, who qualified at West Lancs. Obviously, you entered the pre-qualifying. That's the thing, because Mansell, we said, didn't we? Because Mansell's in the top 1,500 in the world. He didn't have to do the pre-qualifying.
So he
went straight into finals. So we'll let you enjoy this for the next 20 minutes. Here's our chat with Daniel Croft, who's just qualified to play in St. George's next week. So we're joined on the show today by Daniel Croft, who's just qualified for the Open. Welcome to the show, Daniel. How are we, mate?
How are we doing, lad, Joyce?
Very good, thank you. Congratulations on the big victory.
Yeah. I finished third in final qualifying, so yeah, managed to get a space in the Open.
Yeah, yeah. So, where did you finish in the first round?
Regional, I finished. Great question. I think it was about sixth. Yeah. I shot 2 under first stage. I think I was third. Yeah, I think I was tied third.
Yeah.
So I had third on the Sunday at West Lancs, because obviously it was over two. There was two separate days this year with the way it's been run.
Yeah.
So I played on the Sunday, shot 70, shot 2 under, and then obviously I think I finished tied third there, and then I was obviously through to Tuesday, which was final stage 36. So.
Yeah. What were the expectations going into the final stage?
To be honest, I've been to final stage twice before.
Nice.
2016, 2018, and then obviously, you know, the other two times I'd gone in open qualifier, I just missed it by a couple. So it was kind of third time at final stage. So it was just, I said to me caddy, my mate Mick, on the way there, I just said to him, look, if we can, my biggest like kind of thing today is I just want to be in the mix. The other two times I've been, I haven't really got in it. And I was a bit younger and a little bit more inexperienced. And I just said to him, you know, if we can get in this with 9 holes to go today, that's what I want. And then just kind of, if we can get in the mix, see what happens, you never know.
That was unbelievable. They were very well, yeah, and very well indeed. So talk us up to the build up towards it then. Is it like you entered it every year, do you? Because Kev had a go this year.
I've seen his name. I've seen him on
the time ever.
See me near the bottom of the leaderboard, did you?
I listened to a few of these, and then I follow you on Twitter and all that, and then Instagram, and I seen you applying. I just had a little look and see how you got on. But
when everyone come in, there was all sevens and sixes going on, and mine was the only 80 odd, and I was like, someone best fucking shoot anything out. If I come last, I'm fucking only at the end of it.
It's your first time, wasn't it? I've entered it every year since 2016, that was the first time I was able to, because when I was 19, I got to +1. So that was the first time I was kind of eligible to enter, because you got to be off scratch or lower.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I entered. It was 2016, and then I played it 16, 17, 18, 19, and then obviously COVID 2020, there wasn't anything. This was the fifth time I'd done it, and I'd got through twice in 16 and 18 and missed it by a couple in 17 and 19. So,
yeah.
Do you know when the ones in 18 and 16, see the way it was like West Lancs 18 and West Lancs 16? Yeah. What was the format back then? It was a bit different. Yeah.
It's usually different. It usually is different every other year. It's usually they have 13, around 13 regional venues across the country. They're filtered to four final stage venues. So it's still 18 and then 36, but it was always the regional was always the Monday. And then the final was a week after on the Tuesday. So it was 8 days later. But obviously with COVID, they condensed it all to kind of four venues with two regional events at each one, kind of then 3 days later.
Yeah.
And all that.
Yeah, yeah. And how did the nerves all up? You said obviously you just wanted to compete the last nine holes. So you got there. Were you looking at leaderboards? Did you know that you had a chance going into the final nine?
Yeah. So basically, I got to, as you're going round in final, there was like leaderboards every few holes. I don't know if you saw them, Kev, when you were looking. They were there at regional stage, but they weren't really being used. But final stage, there was one on kind of every four holes or five holes. There was a leaderboard, like a little one at the tee, so you could see what was going on. I think the last time I saw it was on, 16, because my second round, I played, it was a 2-tee start, so I played first 18, I played front nine, back nine, and then second 18, I played back nine, front nine. When I came past the 16th tee, which was my seventh hole of the second round, there's a leaderboard there, and I could see that kind of where I needed to get to, so I obviously shot two under first round. I was one over for the round on the 16th tee. I'm thinking, you know, just try and get a couple in on the way in here and try and get in at the back nine. And I birdied 17 and 18. So then I got on the first tee and thought, right, come on, you're in it now. And then managed to birdie one, parred the second, parred the third, and then made a bogey on four, just missed the green and had a tough chip and just didn't play very well and missed the putt. So I got on the fifth tee, which is by now my 14th hole with the second round. And I just checked the leaderboard there. I mean, I just said to me caddy there, just do us a favour, just have a look at the leaderboard, see what's going on. And he just looked and he said, you're three under. Obviously, I said, right, probably need to get to seven. You know, in the back of my head, it was just get to seven. I played down five and I just hit it by the side, the par five, just hit it by the side of the green in two. Managed to chip it up to about 5 foot and older, so that was one.
Did you find yourself at that point, because you thought I've got to get to seven, that you were a bit more aggressive with your shots? Did you strategize
a little bit? Yeah, it was almost like I got on that tee and I thought, right, it's, you know, you've got five holes left, you're in it because you're three under, and I think at the time I think five under was lying about third, and there was obviously Nick Poppleton was doing really well. He was flying at the top. He was 10 under. The second and third place was kind of still for grabs. So I was just thinking, if you get to seven, you'll probably, you know. So I just thought, yeah, I just, as I'm walking off that 50, I just ate my tee shot down. All right, and I just thought, right, I was kind of walking to the ball and just thought, you've not had this chance before, you don't know, you may never get it again. Yeah. Let's just try and be as positive and aggressive as you can be and take it by the horns, really.
Yeah,
and obviously, managed to sit side the green, like I said, shifted up and hold the putt for birdie. So I got on the 6-tee, the par three, and it was playing into wind. Off the back tee, it was the further back tee from regional. It was the back tee. So I think it was playing 190-ish into the wind. And where the pin was, you couldn't really get near the pin because the way the green is. So I just kind of had to play it 40, 30 foot under the hole. I had this long 40 odd 50 foot up the green and managed to hole it. So I just seen a spot on the line and just thought, looks good about there. And I was really obviously just trying to get it down towards, you know, 3 foot and just take me par and move on. But it just fell right in the middle of the hole. So it was like, right, that was quite a, you know, my caddy's jumping all over the place. I'm jumping, thinking, oh my God, what's going on?
Thinking this. And
then we got on seven. Again, seven was playing downwind. So I knocked it over the top. I just took driver out and just knocked it over the top of the bunkers. Because obviously you can lay up down the left on there or you can take it over. So I took it over the top. Had 70 yards in, hit me pitch, one bounce, looked like it was going to be pretty good, like at my pitch in the hole, and it hit the flag and went to about 5 foot. So I held that. And then I was like, right, now, you know, the chest was kind of, you know, it was coming out of my chest by now, but I was just like, just calm down, like just got on the next tee and just took a lot of deep breaths and just kind of just started to clear my mind, because naturally, your head starts running forward, thinking, oh, you know, I've only got 2 hours left. Or, I'm in this. Or, I wonder where my mates are. I wonder what my dad's doing. And to be fair, my caddy, Mick, brilliant. And he just kept talking to me, just kept me at my own head, just kept talking about, he was just talking about the England game. And to be honest, I'm a massive Liverpool fan, but England just doesn't get me going. But I was just talking about England, and I was like, he said to me after, he was like, I was just talking to you about that just to keep your head off. Like, he was like, I don't even know why I brought England up. again, he checked the leaderboard on 8, and I seen I was 6, and the next best was 4. So I was like, right, just make two pars, and you know. So I made par on 8. I just left it just short of the green, chipped it up, and made par, and then I got on the 9th tee, and again, just said to him, are we still in the same position? He said, yeah. So just played it down 9, nice and safe, just down the right-hand side with a 3-iron. 9-iron into the middle of the green, and managed to 2-putt. So that was it.
Do you know you're saying there about like that position you're in? Did you think it helped you by not having like fans there? Because in the past, has there been crowds that would come down and watch?
Usually, I was saying this to him. I was saying it's a bit of a shame, really, because normally when you're playing final qualifying, one of the best bits is the buzz of it, because there's usually a couple of hundred people on the golf course, members and people from the local area, and
yeah,
you know, the golf club that you're from or whatever, and there, you know, a few come and watch. But it was weird, really. I think looking back now, last week, I think in some ways it helped. In some ways, it would have been nice to have people there as well to increase, you know, increase the buzz and increase the atmosphere. But I don't really mind fans. I quite like that atmosphere of people watching and a bit of a cheer and all that. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it did help. Maybe it did help. Not, you know, knowing there wasn't my family at the side of the green thinking, oh, you know, I want to know what's for them, or, you know, none of that.
Yeah.
It's just interesting because we speak about like when Morikawa won his major.
And yeah.
No fans there. You've just mentioned there, your heart was beating out your chest. So obviously the pressure's still there, regardless of the fans or not. But because
to be honest, I was more just obviously like, because after making 3 on the spin to kind of be in. Next. Basically, I was thinking, it's more you just pump. You just adrenaline's just flowing, and but naturally you're trying to calm down as well, because you are, you know, you're a little bit. I still was nervous. Don't get me wrong. I was 100%. You know, you just got to handle it and be able to deal with it. And luckily. You know, it was funny actually that the night before I was getting my golf bag ready in the kitchen here, and I was just talking to my dad, and I just said that, you know, if I do get in the situation tomorrow, I want to prove to myself that I can handle it.
Yeah.
And obviously I did, which was nice, and that gives me a lot of confidence now, you know.
Do you know if there was fans, like, I don't reckon I would have been able to get my swing back on that first tee, because I struggled enough anyway. My heart was going through the roof, man.
The thing is though, like you said, it's your first, you know, the first time you've ever done anything like that. It's like anything, and really, you know, the more you do it, the more you're in that scenario, the more normal it becomes to you. Still, you know, even that, like, to be honest, even on the first tee that day, I was nervous. I always, you know, everyone will be. Anyone who says they weren't is lying.
Yeah.
You know, everyone has a little buzz on that first tee. It's normal.
Yeah. Well, talking about first times, it'll be your first open then. So what are the feelings like? Talk us through how you're feeling, what prep you're doing. I imagine it's being crazy.
Yeah, honestly, it's... Obviously Tuesday happened, and then I got home on Tuesday night. And obviously all my mates and my family are ringing me, just like, where are you? What are you doing? Where are we going? I was like, look, I was like, just come to our back garden. So we just, you know, there was just like my close family, my close friends, my mates who, you know, my mate who caddies for me, and we had about 20 of us in the back garden there, and that was nice, just coming back to everyone in the back garden and having a good laugh and a few drinks and what have you.
Yeah.
So I woke up Wednesday morning with a bit of a sore head. and probably had the best hangover in my life because I felt fantastic. And then kind of just had Wednesday to kind of collect my thoughts and work out what was going on, and kind of take it all in, because it was just like, I still can't believe it now. It's like you wake up in the morning, you just laugh and just like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Now this week going forward now, I've played today and had a bit of practice today and what have you, and then tomorrow I've got, because I coach as well, you see, so I coach and play, so I'm just doing a few lessons tomorrow, a couple of mornings this week, just to try and keep a bit of normality about it.
Yeah.
You know, not too much, but I'm doing a bit of coaching in the morning, and then I've got an afternoon with my coach tomorrow, and then Wednesday I'm just practicing most of the day, and I'm just trying to chill out a bit, having a couple of games of links golf this week, just to keep the idea of playing links. You know, I'm playing Wallasey on. I think I'm playing Wallasey on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Thursday, same as tomorrow, bit of coaching, and then go and see me coach in the afternoon. And then Friday, I'm playing at Royal Liverpool on Friday because I've got a mate who's a member there. We've had a bit of I've had a good look at St George's, and it looks a bit, trying to look at kind of, is it similar to anywhere, how it plays? You know, is it a lot of blind shots? Is it a bit hilly? Is it quite flat? It looks relatively quite flat, and you can run the ball in and what have you. So it's a little bit similar to Royal Liverpool in that sense.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go and play that on Friday. Saturday, I'm just kind of just got to get everything sorted, get everything together, do a few hours practice somewhere around, and then Sunday I'm traveling.
Yeah, is that when you're going up Sunday, is it? Yeah,
well, Sunday morning, yeah.
I don't know if you listen to any of our pods, but I think loads of, like, you know, people who have been in the Open for the first time, like, some of the advice that they say is, like, don't overdo it. You know, you think you need to, like, practice two...
Yeah, definitely.
Like, I think it was a Kinnear, or one of them said, he just went, by the time he got to the Thursday, he was done in.
Yeah, I've been wary of that, and to be honest, my coach has said that to me as well. He said, listen, I don't want you doing too much. Just do what you would normally do. You know, obviously, when you get there, you're going to have 3 days preparation anyway.
Yeah.
He's like, well, just do the amount of practice that you would normally do. Don't feel like you've got to make your hands bleed, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And who have you got your eyes on for trying to throw your name in a pracky round with? Who's the number one you're looking for?
Well, I don't want to say too much, because in case it doesn't happen, but fingers crossed, it's looking like I might have a round sorted with Tommy. Finno messaged me with congratulations. I was a little bit cheeky. I just said, if you and Tommy by any chance fancy 9 holes, it'd be a pleasure. Brilliant. And he come back to me and said, you know, I'm sure he won't mind. You know, with you being a local lad, I'll sort it. Just keep in contact with me, kind of thing. So it's not definite, but hopefully that'll happen.
Yeah.
And then other than that, I, from what I've heard, you can just put your name with people. So, yeah. I mean, if there's spaces, I'll put my name with anyone. You know, I've got to take the experience and try and get more obviously the experience, but learning from it as well. Just kind of, you know, to be around them types of players and pick things up. And because, you know, for me, I want to kick on from this. I don't want it to be a flash in the pan. I want it to be the start, hopefully.
Yeah.
But everyone has that in mind when they go there. And there's, you know, it doesn't just give me, going to the Open doesn't give me a tour card by any stretch of the imagination. You've got to earn it. But I hope I can push on from it and learn a lot from it and feel like I can really compete at that level, you know.
No, definitely. It'll be interesting to see you, mate. Can't wait. Looking forward to watching it.
Yeah, I can't wait for it.
Well, look, Dan, we wish you the best of luck, mate.
Thank you.
As I say, just go out there and enjoy it, innit? That's all you can do, really, innit?
Yeah, that's it. Just go and enjoy the experience.
Any goals? Like, have you got anything in your mind that you'd be happy with? Obviously, making the cut.
I mean, obviously, the main kind of goal is go and make the cut. But at the same time, I don't really want to think about it. I just want to go and play. Play, just go and try and play the best golf I can, and don't worry about the score too much. Just go and play, let it take care of itself. Just focus every hole once. It's dead cliche, but just literally just go and play it one shot at a time, and just hit the next shot in front of me. Because I often find when I get in that mindset, when I can get in that mindset, I play my best golf. So if I just get in that mindset and literally just go and hit it, literally find it, hit it. Do you know what I mean? And if I can do that and not worry too much ahead about the score and the cut, you know, I like to think I'll do all right, but the main goal would be definitely to go and make the cup. But like I say, I don't want to be hung up on it either.
Yeah,
yeah, no, that's it. That's right. It's possibly even the whole experience. You're not gonna, everything's gonna be learning in it, and everything's gonna be positive at whatever you do.
And it's an amazing journey, mate. And hopefully, like you say, it's just the start of something big for you. Do you know what I mean? You proved you can get there now. So why not kick on?
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's the objective. Really, is, you know, I've always wanted to play golf. That's, you know, I coach and I play, but really I just want to play. You know, my coaching's great and I love it, and you know, I end up living out of it. And if I don't end up getting to the level I want to get to, then I'll make a nice living coaching, but I want to play golf. That's the dream.
Definitely. You know, well, look, like we say, mate, we wish you the best of luck, and we'll definitely get you on to do a full journey professionally.
Yeah, no problem.
We're doing, when obviously let you concentrate on the Open, and when you get back. Hopefully.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that, because, you know, you can kind of go from the start, can't you, and go
that's
from there.
It. Yeah, that's it.
Brilliant. Yeah. Well, look, you take care, mate, and we wish you the best of luck, and hopefully bring that claret jug back.
No pressure,
nice one. Thanks, lads. Nice one.
Cheers, mate.
And I'll speak to you soon.
Yeah, cheers, Dan. Ta-ra,
thanks. Mate. Nice one.
Enjoyed that chat.
No, he's a nice lad, isn't he?
Yeah, great lad, yeah.
Seems to have a bit of purpose to him as well, where he's like, he's obviously, you know, he's not getting too carried away, but he's like, he's getting a taste of, like, proper tour
You could hear that from when he was what he was talking about it then. When you're a young kid growing up at a decent level, he was off plus one when he was 19.
Yeah.
Your ambitions are always to play at the top level, because you're good enough, you're shooting under par, you're doing good things. And then obviously he's got into the coaching side of things, and like we know with David, it takes up a lot of your time, so you don't get to practice as much. But this is obviously, you can see he's motivated by it and he wants to try and kick on from that. So, like we said there, we wish him the best of luck.
Well, speaking of great great things, Padraig Harrington left a letter to all the caddies at the Irish Open saying, like, whether you're from America or wherever you're from, like, you know, he's doing an amazing job. Have a drink on me.
I've seen that, yeah. It's great, a bit of a gamesmanship, or just being a nice guy.
That's what I wanted to think.
Comes
to.
Across like a really nice guy, though, doesn't he? Like,
well, no, I just thought it was boss one. It's just a nice little touch, isn't it?
We spoke, didn't we? And we always talk about the Ryder Cups every week. And the last one, the war on the shore, and like that, the animosity. So I don't know whether he's just trying to put the feels out there, because Stricker seems like a nice guy as well,
no,
doesn't he?
So, yeah. Boss of Stricker come back saying, like, you're not getting no drinks off me. I'm ready for war. Know what that voice was?
I had no idea what's going on there. Yeah. But yeah, you're right. Great touch by Podrick.
And a South African lad that shot 56.
Oh, I've seen that.
What's that about?
56. I've done that front nine a few times.
Four eagles.
That's just some score. And what was the par of the course? I haven't
72. So you're the man for that.
Staff, 16 under par in 18 holes.
Frightening, isn't it?
What was the yardage? Do you remember?
Don't know, you know. I have to look. We've posted it on the store, on the socials.
Like it matters. I mean, no, I know, 56 yeah. shots is 56 shots, isn't
That's,
it?
I know.
But par 72,
he's off plus eight.
Well, he'll be off plus 12 now. Like that new handicap system, that's there to stay.
Well, that's got to get him that. He'll probably be the lowest fact check, like, but the lowest handicap ever, surely, to God.
God.
Yes. If he gets the plus 10, I remember Sergio was plus 8. Yeah. Or plus 7, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So now
Tiger was plus. Was low, wasn't he?
Is he, yeah. I've never really thought about Tiger's. I heard anyone talk about Tiger's handicap.
Tiger was, yeah. I think Sergio was lower than him, but because they turned pro around the same time, didn't he?
Right.
But I do remember Tiger was plus 8, I think, or was plus 7, yeah.
Well, then he's obviously getting cut for that. Imagine he went up. Remember Paul Kinnear said that he come down to plus 4, then shot 68 in the Living Trophy and went up, and he was like, fuck this, I'm turning pro. that was the turning point, shooting 68 and going up 0.1, and he was like, I'm not having this.
I should be shooting 68 and earning a couple of grand.
Exactly, though, innit? And we've got some amazing golf to look forward to tomorrow, like a bit of bonus. They've got the match.
Yeah, they have, yeah. Had an absolute monster of a track. Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady against Bryson DeChambeau and... Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, see the little gamesmanship.
I'm not too on that, Aaron Rodgers. You're a bit more of an NFL guy, aren't you?
Yeah, he plays for the Green Bay Packers. He's a legend, really.
Is he, yeah?
One of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, like, going down in history. He's quite an older fella now.
Still going, is he?
Still going, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They were actually favourites to get to the Super Bowl last year, and Brady left the New England Patriots, who he was at for and won everything with, and he went to... Tampa Bay, yeah, and won it his first season there, which was unexpected.
We watched it, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Oh, yeah.
Remember, but yeah, promising for the life of me, I wasn't staying up to watch that, and then stayed up to like 3 in the morning.
Yeah,
like,
brilliant,
oh my God.
Yeah,
it was actually good, yeah.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? Well, that's I always watch the NFL when it's a bit back on soon. Actually, I think it's starting end of August or beginning of September.
Nice,
it runs right through to February. Yeah, so something else to look forward to while the golf takes a break after the FedEx. So, but you're right, yeah. The match is on. I see Phil. Bit of gamesmanship with Bryson bending his
eight iron.
His eight iron,
yeah.
Bit of fun, that one.
And then on the back of that, Bryson sacks his caddy. it was only an eight iron. See Phil Mickelson's comment.
Phil Mickelson said it was only an eight iron, yeah. Has he actually sacked him, hasn't he? Well, they've parted ways.
Yeah,
because he was with him in the practice rounds, but then didn't enter the tournament, did he?
Yeah, but did you notice as well, Bryson, like, we'll come on to the Rocket Mortgages in a second, but did you notice Bryson's approach, like, he went, I'm just going to hit a rescue and call it a day.
Yeah.
I was like, that's not, like, Bryson doesn't say things like that.
And defending champ as well.
Yeah.
Like, he'd made...
I mean, that was the shot of the tournament. Yeah, right away. Like,
maybe that's the way to start thinking, yeah? Overcomplicate things.
Yeah, it just wasn't Bryson, was it?
No, and then we talk about the Brooks and Bryson beef, and then straight away, as soon as that happens, what does Brooks do? Post about how his best friend.
Ricky Elliott and all that. Yeah, it's sick.
It does. It just adds to the spice, doesn't it?
It does. But yeah, I don't know. I noticed there was a lot less conversation because there was a big emphasis on how much Bryson's caddy actually does for him.
Yeah.
So they were saying that, like...
He knows his way of thinking, doesn't he?
Well, yeah, exactly.
And it's not exactly the easiest thing to understand the way Bryson thinks.
No. So the caddy was standing there and he had long hair, didn't he? Look quite chilled. He had the pencil in his mouth and it was like a couple of second conversation with Bryson, and then Bryson was hitting the shot and all the commentators were like, Wow, like he didn't even take that pencil out of his mouth to give DeChambeau the yardage there.
I
don't know if he's either quickly doing it or they've got an agreement.
We say that like Bryson's left the caddy, but do we know whether the caddy's had enough?
I don't know, but I just mean in general, the approach by this new caddy, whether it's the Bryson said it or whether the fella said it, is completely different to, we got 10 to the front and then 8 and then whatever they used to say, all the mad numbers and wind and the altitude and the density.
But even the way he swings it, he's got different numbers, like he does the clock, doesn't he?
Of what
type of swing, and the caddy would understand, the caddy who's got rid of would understand that, wouldn't he? So
I'm like, I'm thinking, how is that? Obviously, he didn't do too
good.
Not good
timing wise, is it?
No,
got the
not
Olympics.
Really.
Got the Olympics coming up in a couple of weeks.
Like a major.
Got the Open. Yeah. The FedEx is drawing to a close. I think we've got 10, 11 tournaments left.
Yeah, it was a strange decision, but
it's been a bit of a mad couple of months for Bryce, hasn't it? With everything that's going on with Brooks and him doing what he's doing, but he's not showing the form.
And he's getting very thin as well, isn't he?
He's lost a lot of weight.
Yeah. So.
Be interesting to keep an eye on that one and just see how he gets on with this new caddy, because I think he's going to regret that, whether it was his decision or whether it was a mutual agreement, whatever. I do think, given how he thinks around the golf course, he could live
change
to regret
it,
that.
Change it isn't really in his favour, is it?
No, I mean, give it to the end of the season and then rethink about it, but unless something explosive's happened and they've parted ways and not very mutually, then
unless something personal's happened to Timmy Tucker and he's gone. Well, no one's really given a statement or
this is it. We don't know. We're just guessing it.
We'll have more on that, won't we?
We'll keep an eye on it, and we'll definitely bring it to the pod because it's an interesting story to keep an eye on.
Definitely.
There was just another mention. We've spoke about the Open there. Ricky Fowler has made some negative comments. Yes, saying that obviously they have to jump through hoops and do certain things when they're playing golf. And the RNA have sent a 5-page document outlining the safety protocols, and he's come out and said he doesn't think he's not happy with it. Really, he's like letting 32,000 fans turn up to an event.
Well, he's lucky it's not the week later, because on the 19th of July, all the restrictions change anyway.
Literally,
so like if it was next week, there'd be 100,000 fans. So like, take what you're getting, Ricky, and be happy with it.
That's it. Yeah, they've gone for a 75% capacity.
Have they?
On each day, yeah. So
you'd only be getting whatever, like,
I think 50,000 a day, yeah.
No way.
I think 200,000.
Oh, sounds about right. I'm thinking there's 200,000
for the whole week. Well, yeah, I suppose when you consider the practice days as well, because they let a lot in for the practice days too, don't they? You're right, I suppose we're getting to not the end of COVID, but it's getting to a position now where they want to try and get back to life as normal. So the only way
fans bring the money, don't they? And the money.
Exactly, like, yeah.
Like, we'll come on to Scottish Open pace in a minute as well. So
don't want to just digress too much, but you look at Wembley Stadium a couple of weeks back when we played, and there was thousands of fans there.
You've got
thousands at Wimbledon, Silverstone in a couple of weeks. That's going to have thousands there. Yeah. Royal Ascot, packed. Yeah, for the horse racing. Yeah, so it's like golf's the only one really. I know the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open had fans, but again, it wasn't a full capacity.
Hang on a minute, I'm just thinking back to what Fowler said there. What's he talking about? He's playing in America, full of fans.
Yeah, exactly.
In Florida,
I think he's getting more. He's more getting at the 5-page document that outlines the safety protocols.
Ah, right, okay.
For one reason or another, so
we'll have to get our hands on that. You can have a read of that if you want.
But like we've just spoke about there, the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open.
Yeah.
We've had a double Aussie win this week.
Yeah?
Yeah, Lucas Herbie won on the European Tour, Australian, and then, as we mentioned, we'll come on to the Rocket Mortgages later, but there was another Aussie maiden win for Cam Davis. But let's go Irish Open first, wire-to-wire winner.
Second one this season, but obviously you think the first of his European Tour career, because he's only had one other win, hasn't he, other than this?
Yeah, he's had two wins in 65 starts, and that's boosted him up now to number 54 in the world, so obviously chasing down that top 50, we all know what that gets you.
That's it.
It's your Masters, your WGC
your box,
events.
Aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. So just a couple of bit of information about obviously what that means. It makes him the third Australian to win the Irish Open. The first was Ozzie Pickworth back in 1950, and then Brett Rumford back in 2004. And he becomes the 136th Aussie-born player to win on the European Tour. And earns a place in the Open Championship.
Fancy calling your son Aussie if you're an Aussie.
Aussie the Aussie.
Aussie the Aussie, yeah. That's mad, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But now, congrats to him. Like, I think he obviously knew that he had it in the bag, even though he started making all crazy swings. But like he was knocking them way right, and then he's chipping out the trees and he should have been lost two balls.
Yeah,
coming down the on the front nine, and he ended up shooting them one over for them holes.
Yeah,
but he held a putt on the eighth and said to his caddy, like, I reckon that's won me the tournament.
With 10 holes to go, it's a risky statement.
It's a
isn't
statement
it?
And a half, isn't
very
it?
Very statement.
And
isn't
it's and it's come to light.
Yeah, he must have knew.
Yeah.
Whether he's found something, he's mentioned there, he's doing all things with a swing, whether he's found something and he's like, I can do this now.
Well, that was another interesting thing where he's talking about, he's hitting these few loose ones and he went back to a field that he knew that got him to hit a different shot, and then he stayed with that field and then it wasn't too good, then he tried a different thing. So he's in the middle of trying to win his second tournament. He's wire to wire. He's obviously playing great golf, and then he's still figuring out a swing in the final round. It's a bit mental, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Like,
but I suppose when your back's against the wall, that's what you've got to do.
And then it shows. It's something that golfers could probably lean towards instead of just thinking, I'm hitting it terrible today. Think, why am I doing this?
Yeah,
where's it going? And what are the reasons for this? So when you cut your coach to explain to you what makes the ball do what, then you can fix yourself then, can't you?
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah. But I like the way the fans were cheering on for Vierman and Herbert. It's like, obviously they're Irish, aren't they? Most of the fans will be, but he's an Aussie and he's an American, and even the Swede when he chipped in on the last to get into the Open and stuff. Like, it's just great that the fans are just getting behind anyone.
Yeah, well, I think they're just happy to be back out there, aren't they? Like you would be. You know what I mean? You just embrace the atmosphere and you just cheer for anyone.
Definitely. Yeah.
Fans are back, so the atmosphere's back, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Is Caddy? Actually, a couple of weeks ago, I can't remember whose bag he was on, but Herbert phoned him and asked him to caddy, and he left him to come and caddy for him after he'd just won.
So he was on the bag for somebody else,
I can't remember the name of the person.
And then
went to Herbert. He's like, it means a lot to the caddy as well, because he's put a lot of faith. And he's like, we basically live together. He's like my best mate and stuff. So they must have knew each other as well, you know what I mean? But it was a big jump for him.
Bloody hell, yeah. Especially if he'd just gone from a winning bag as well.
No, definitely, yeah. And as Caddy said onto his shot on the last, he said, you're not going to win Strike of the Year for that one, but it'll do.
That's when you know the relationship's
That's
strong,
great,
don't you?
That, isn't it?
Yeah, when he's still got a putt to go.
Yeah.
Brilliant, what a way to relax him. It was the Irish Open, so we've got to mention the Irish players. Start with Padraig Harrington. I've seen an interview that he'd done there. He cracked his driver on the Tuesday, and that's what he's put down to his reason for playing as poorly as he did. He missed the cut in the end.
Well, didn't he get a new one?
We got a new one, yeah, but he said it just left him frustrated off the tee, and then he said those frustrations went on to a couple of his second shots, and then he got off to a really poor start and just couldn't pull it back. Rory also, a bit of a poor start on day one, but he managed to pull it back, but he just levelled out. He finished 59th in the end at 2 under.
Yeah.
And then Shane Lowry, he'll be excited to defend the Open. Didn't get the opportunity last year, so he'll be excited to get to St. George's. And he finished at 9 under, tied for 23rd.
He'll be the longest Open champion ever, won't he?
Yeah.
He's held deflected.
Yeah, keeping hold of that for 2 years.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
Brilliant for him, that.
It's great, but obviously Rory played with Tommy, didn't he, the first couple of days?
Yeah, Tommy flying first day, to be fair.
He's just got that one, like, just faltering round that leaves him, like, too much to do on. Like, it was the Friday this week where he shot level.
Yeah.
And it just leaves him too much to do, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. To win a tournament, like what Herbert's done, you need to have those consistent rounds in the 60s. So, yeah, you can see it's not a terrible round, level par. When you can think of the wet conditions and things.
Yeah.
But it's not, like you say, it just left him a bit too much to do on the final days, a bit too far back. And I think he only had like 1 under or 2 under final round.
1 under, yeah.
Yeah, on the final round. So
it's frustrating, isn't it, with Tommy, the way it just having that one, he just hasn't got the 468 or the 465s in him to just push on him, really. Like, challenging on the Sunday, do you know what I mean? It's mad.
And I know this is obviously statement alert here, it's obvious this, but when he does put those four rounds together, he does either win or he's in the
he's
top
up there,
two or three. It's not like he has four steady rounds.
But then it always seems to be a 65 Sunday that brings him right into it.
Yeah.
More than just like he's up there and he's
well, what was the major he done in? He shot
in the US Open when he come second.
Yeah, and he shot like 700, didn't he? Which was like unheard of at the US Open and unbelievable and lost out by a shot. Was it Koepka?
Koepka, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So
yeah, to me, so he's obviously got it in him. It's just stringing it together for the 4 days. But saying that, hopefully he's saving it for the Open, hasn't he? Yeah, that would be unreal.
Saving it for the big one.
That would be unreal, wouldn't it?
For both of them, the man Finno, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Be amazing to see. But no, like we speak about every week, it's an amazing tournament, wasn't it?
That was great, yeah.
Good to see someone hold the nerve right from the Thursday to the Sunday and lead the whole way.
Yeah, I know. It was good. It was good to watch as well. Like some of the way the course was set up, like it looked dead lush, didn't it? Whereas usually, like you'd see Ireland, you don't expect it to be as like lush as that. It was more like a parkland course, wasn't it?
Yeah, like do you mean you expect like, to see that
on, like on a Lynx course, like yeah. in Royal Port Rush or whatever, County Down or whatever, yeah. do you know what I mean?
It looked like you could pick that one up and put it in Florida, didn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Well, Finno said it was like very much like Fawn Bior, so I was thinking Tommy was going to smash it.
Yeah, we thought he was. Only one or two back, wasn't he, after the first day? So, but like you say, putting them four rounds together, that's the next thing you need to do to get that win, obviously. So, talking of Aussie winners,
Cam Davies.
What a boy.
Did you see his left-handed swing? It's been
circulating. Some talent,
that. It's great, that, isn't it? One right-handed stopping and then turning around, isn't it? Left-handed, and he rips it.
Unbelievable.
I know.
Well, you could tell he rips it. Did you see on the final day that on the fourth hole, he had 309 yards into the par five and he knocks the driver to about 20 foot.
That drive off the deck is just the one, isn't it?
Interestingly, I had a little look there. He leads the tour when going for the green in two shots on a par five. You know,
Lovely little stat to own that, isn't it?
Unbelievable. Do you know what the percentage is? Don't let me see if you can get this. What would you think the highest percentage of hitting the green in two on a par five would be?
Hitting the green in two. So it's obviously mostly over 200, isn't it? Or like one.
Oh yeah, you're looking at averaging probably between 240 and 280 the yardage.
20%.
Well, 35%.
No, that's decent, isn't it?
It's not bad, is it? Yeah. I thought that myself. I thought that's quite a high percentage for those type of shots. You're never going to go in with much less than a five iron, really, are you?
No, definitely.
Ideally.
Not.
So, I just thought that was a good stat to bring when I seen that one go on the green, I thought.
No, it is. That's the boss. Mm. If you're hitting driver as well into it, it's like... It's
green in regulation with a driver off the deck. Driver.
That's what we're talking about. Like, he's mad at 309, he's hitting driver, 295, and DeChambeau's hitting a rescue.
I know, yeah. You think about it, yeah.
Funny that, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, another playoff.
But to get in the playoff before anything, that slammed, or like a bounce, bunker shot.
Oh,
on
the
17 for the Eagle. And then
coming off that bogey on 16 as well.
And then barely the last.
I know. Thinking his chances were gone, he makes that silly bogey, doesn't he? And then Eagle birdie.
Can I finish? Like, that's what you love to see, innit? Like,
yeah, that's the one, innit?
Oh, unbelievable.
Yeah, 67 final round. Gets a place in the Open himself.
Sick.
Yeah, so just shows you, doesn't it? Like, this winning at this time of the year, it's them added bonuses, isn't it?
It just gives you, I know you get it anyway for winning or whatever, don't you? But it's like,
it's so close, it's so like close. An added bonus, it's like, is what I mean.
It's like the last chance saloon, in it?
Yeah.
Get in, which is, that's boss, isn't it?
Yeah, he played well, though. I watched the final round there, and he stripes it.
No, rips it.
He absolutely rips it, doesn't he?
Oh, mate, joke. Even at the playoff, was it meant to be a five-hole playoff, or was it just sudden death, wasn't it?
No, so what happened was, obviously the three of them tied, Neiman, Merritt and Davis, and it's just sudden death playoff, yeah, so... obviously Neiman goes out first and then the other two just tie, and it was just that silly bogey by Troy Merritt. 108 yard par 3, misses it short left on the pins left, and then like sort of duffy chip, wasn't it, and then misses the putt. It was like a bit of an anticlimax. It all happened so slow, didn't it, because Davis just hits a solid shot to the middle of the green, just misses his putt and taps his three, and he's probably thinking another hole, here we go, and then he just messes it up.
It's one of them, it's like, you don't need length on par threes, and like I hate it when like you're on a phone be all there 240, and it's just there's just no 108. You can get drama.
Yeah,
you can. But on a Pebble Beach, like even the one at Augusta's got the 12th. It's not that long, is it? Like,
yeah,
you don't need length.
As dialed in as they are with their irons at 108, it's a birdie hole, isn't it?
Birdie fest,
100 to 108 yards. It's hole in one opportunities as well for them.
Well, Merritt did have a hole in one, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
Another two hole in ones. What is going on?
Well, this got so dialed in there. Everything's like, so perfect now.
What is going on, though?
That we follow Trotty Golf, don't we, on TaylorMade, and we see what he does to clubs. You got the, and they all get it. You got the lie angles. Everything is to suit that individual golfer. So if you put the swing on it that you know you can put on it, they're never going to be too far from the target.
I know.
It's just target practice for them, innit?
I just think it's like we spoke about it a few weeks ago, didn't we? Where the like amount of hole in ones is getting more, and yeah. it just keeps happening. Like there was a couple on par fours last week. There was like now there's two again this week.
Even the ones that like don't go in, but they're so close. They
Matsuyama had one, didn't he?
Yeah, there's so many near misses as well.
No, definitely.
It's just a constant theme.
Matsuyama had to withdraw, didn't he, with COVID as well?
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Did he? Yeah.
Yeah, on the Friday. But another little word about Phil Mickelson there. I think he's hit 12 out of 14 fairways for 2 days in a row, and then he shot level par both days, and I think he's putting it down to not knowing what to do from the fairway.
Because he's so used to playing his magic.
Out of position. Yeah,
yeah, you know playing all the mad shots. Was it, how did he putt? Do you know?
I haven't looked at the stats, no, but he was shooting level pads, like, and he's making a few bogeys, birdies, not just average rounds.
Just an average round.
Not really that major winner.
Did he miss the cut then?
No, I think he made the cut.
Oh, did he make the cut? Yeah. We're talking about players who did miss the cut. Another Chilean who joined the tour. We spoke about him a couple of weeks back. Nito Pereira.
Pereira, yeah.
Yeah, I seen a video of him. He's swinging about 190 miles an hour. He's one of them.
One of the big beasts, is he?
Gets through it, yeah. But obviously that was his first PGA start since he received his status, and because he won three times on the Corn Ferry Tour, but he only shot one under over the two rounds, so he just missed the cut.
It's mad that Zalatoris still got a win to get his PGA Tour card, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, we forgot about that.
Like, I know, we haven't seen much of him since the Masters, have we?
No, we come, I think he come dead last after the cut, Zalatoris this week.
Did he, yeah.
But do you know another one? Englishman Tom Lewis faded off as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he was up there the first couple
and
of
then
days,
just,
yeah.
Just went to pieces, like. Mm-hmm.
It's a tough school, though, isn't it?
No, it is.
You know what I mean? Like, what's won there, 18 under? It's an average of what? 400 a round, is it? A bit more, 500 a round. And that's consistent golf, isn't it?
No, it is.
We did call it a birdie fest before we started, but you've still got to go out there and shoot the numbers, haven't you? So,
yeah, definitely.
We spoke about Tommy there, not putting four rounds together. Yeah, so it takes a lot to win on tour. You're out there for 4 or 5 hours a day, 4 days a week. Do you know what I mean? It's
more the winner, because you've got your practice round, you've got your Monday round if you want to be doing anything.
It's a good old slog, isn't it?
You play golf 2 days in a row, you're cabbage down.
One for me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Especially if I'm having a few beers on the course.
But speaking of missing the cut, defending champion Bryson DeChambeau missed the cut.
He's
having all sorts of qualms, isn't he?
We just spoke about it before, didn't we? There's a couple of things going on, weren't there? Do you know what I mean? Is his mind more on what's going on with Brooks?
He's 8 million trying to get his money in.
Yeah, and he's obviously not training as much as he did. Do you know what I mean? But it's going to be, everyone talks about how hard he works in the gym on and off the course, but I don't care who you are, if you've got a full schedule, you can't just keep doing that.
What do you mean you can't just keep?
Well, just eating as much as he did and doing the weights, because obviously you'd feel sluggish, wouldn't you, putting all that food in and doing the weights. It affects your feelings going onto the golf course. So.
But at the same time, when you are doing that and you do get used to it and you take it away, your body like craves it, gets used to it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So it's,
maybe he's lack of energy because he's not putting as many in.
Yeah.
As many calories in.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But you can certainly see a difference in his frame. You can certainly see a difference in his frame, can't you?
Yeah.
It's a complete change. So
he just needs to find that middle ground, I think, doesn't he, between muscle and flexibility? Because the more muscle you put on, the less flexible you usually are.
Exactly, yeah. But I think he's just, he could surprise me, but I think getting rid of the caddy at this time is just not the right move. But we don't know the whole story, so, as you mentioned before, there's more to it.
We will bring it, though, won't we? We will find it next week.
Definitely. But what a week for the Aussies, eh?
Good.
What a week for the Aussies.
Buzzing.
Brings us nicely onto that time again.
It's that time again, y'all. The birdie boogie bust. The birdie boogie bust. Birdie boogie bust.
Right then, watch your birdie.
That bunker shot.
Yeah.
Cam Davies bunker shot. Just in that sort, after coming off a bogey in that position to hold a bunker shot and then go on to win the tournament in the events preceding, like that for me, I love all the just absolute stones
that's the shot that won the tournament.
It's got to be, hasn't it?
Yeah. No, yeah.
You know what I mean? Gained some 2 shots on the field or 3 shots on the field or whatever. Yeah. It's unreal. Loved it.
Brilliant.
What's yours, brother?
We spoke about it before, the match. It's played at Reserve at Moonlight Basin. A Jack Nicklaus design course. It's almost 8,000 yards off the backs. Don't know what tees they'll be playing off, because obviously the the NFL guys are not going to be bombing it.
Have the same tees with you last time they were out?
I don't recall. I'm not sure. No. I can't remember. But when I was looking at the course and things, there's a par 5, 17th hole, 777 yards.
Par 7?
No, par 5.
What?
Yeah, still a par 5. Yeah.
Oh, my word. Yeah, 777.
Yeah, Jack Nicklaus said it's the most beautiful course he's ever designed.
That's 3 drivers for Bryson. 5 for Rogers.
I'm looking forward to watching it just to see.
Yeah, I want to see how they play that. Yeah.
That's me birdie, yeah.
That's sick.
Didn't even know you were allowed to do a par 5, 777.
Didn't know, yeah. Like 700, nearly. What?
Yeah.
Come on.
Definitely a 3-shotter, isn't it?
Jesus.
To get on the fairway.
Like, what is that about? That's mental. I'd love to. Yeah. I can't wait to see what they play. Wow.
What's your bogey?
My bogey is, watching the European Tour this year, like, the money that is, like, obviously, this used to be at a Rolex event, didn't it? The Irish.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all the other events where you're playing for $1 million, like 1.5 million, and then, like, a couple of years ago, last year, you're playing for $3 million or whatever, so the purses have been halved. And then this week, the Scottish Open, there's an extra $1 million on it compared to last year. And I'm just thinking, there's all the big boys coming over, and I get that. They're a bit more needle movers and stuff, but they need to find more money for the other tournaments. It's like some of them's not even worth them playing.
Yeah, you miss the cut. You're struggling to make money, aren't you? Yeah. Which on the European Tour shouldn't be the case.
No, if you get to the... That's elite.
Yeah.
And you're struggling
it's the top level of European golf, yeah.
We said it last time with Slats, when he played that the Belfry, if he'd have missed the cut, come last after the cut, got 1,500 quid. Said if he'd have missed the cut, he would have actually earned more because he would have got 1,000 and he wouldn't have had to pay his 2 nights hotel.
Of course, yeah.
So it's like...
The more and then expense it's food comes
and
all the
expense, and then do you know what I mean? And he's wasted 2 days, and it's like you just need the money. Where this English Super League thing is going
to
come.
What they've got to be careful of as well is the Ryder Cup, which we speak about a lot on the pod. You know, if they're not careful, like the PGA Tour cannot accommodate all the Europeans.
No,
do you know what I mean? As much as it might want to, because you've got players from all around the world playing it. So if they're not careful, and the levels drop too much on the European Tour because of the money and people are put off by it, then you're potentially going to ruin the Ryder Cup.
No, definitely,
because you're not
going
to get that level of European talent coming through.
Well, I reckon with these new Super Leagues and different companies coming in, they can see a niche.
Yeah.
And they throw a bit of money at it, and the more money that goes into it, the bigger spectacle, the more viewing figures, you get attract a few bigger fish, and before you know it, you're bigger than the European Tour. What's your bogey?
My bogey is a bogey. Neiman. Didn't make a bogey for 72 holes. First playoff hole, he makes a bogey.
What is that about? Like,
I know. Couldn't be more gutted for him on the first playoff. So my bogey is a bogey from a bogey boy.
Well, with the Chilean connection I've got with Keaton and his wife, she's so patriotic about, like, they set alarms for 3 a.m. They're in quite isolation at the minute.
Yeah,
but they set alarms to go and make sure they watch the Chilean games, and because the Copa de America's on, or the qualifier or something?
Not sure.
Yeah, there's something going on in South American footy anyway, and they're up at all hours.
I know Brazil have been playing a few games, haven't they?
Well, that Chile's in it as well. They're up at all hours screaming and everything. Jesus. So they just love the Chilean, so I was gutted for it. There are Keenan and Connie, because I wanted to
meet. Well, they've got two fans now. They've got Mito as well, so
two
of them to support, yeah. But that was me, boy. What's your bust?
My bust is a bit of a mad one. That I read, 3 men, including the pro golfer Gene Siller, were killed at Pine Tree Country Club in a shooting.
Yeah, that's my bust as well. That's crazy, so tragic.
So thoughts going out to the family and anyone involved there. Like, so I don't know the full story. Looking into it, I don't think it's all.
Yeah, I've just read the headline.
It just shocked me when I was looking.
No, shocking. Very tragic. And I believe he's leaves behind a wife and 2 kids as well.
Tragic.
Same, I agree. That's my bust, for the week. Yeah.
Mm.
And that moves us on to the 1993 Ryder Cup.
Back at the Belfry.
Again, 3 years in the bounce. Well, 3 European tournaments in the bounce.
What's that about then? Just like it, or do you just kept it, or money, or what?
Good feelings from there, I'm not sure. I'm not sure when the change of venues come, but it was never like that in the past, was it?
No, it was always bobbed around on it, and it seems to be... Now, with more money involved, they primed the venues like years and years in advance for the Ryder Cup to be there.
30th edition. Don't remember us doing another 29 of these. Is that how many we've done?
Surely not.
Yeah. 30th edition of the Ryder Cup, and a win for USA.
Hopefully, yeah. I say they're going to change it next time it's in Europe because they got beat.
Yeah, 15-13. It was a close one, though, weren't it?
No, yeah, definitely.
The Europeans were leading going into the singles, weren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah. I was watching a video there, and I think it's Azinger hits it, and it hits the flag on the par three, and the pins took left. Can't remember what hole it is. And then later on in the day, Faldo hits it, bounce, and the exact same shot, and it lips around and goes in.
Does it?
Yeah, it was boss. Sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, lovely. Love a little hole in one at the Ryder Cup. It's yeah. Nothing better than that.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. About time the USA won at Europe as well. It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has.
Yeah, since I think the last time. I don't think they've ever won against the European team.
Yeah, but not from when it was Great Britain or whatever.
Yeah, since it's changed. The first time they've actually won in Europe.
I just want to note it out there that Woozy and Langer won 7-6 against Azinger and Stewart. Just
putting that one out there.
Putting that one out there.
Big win, that. Big
win.
Woozy had a good tournament, though, didn't he?
Yeah, no, he did, yeah. And he won 6-5 against Baker.
Yeah, in the singles. Yeah.
Good little tournament.
We had an injury as well, didn't we?
Sam Torrance withdrew. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think it was a wrist injury or something, but...
Yeah. Well, did he get the half? Like...
He got the half, same thing. Yeah.
We had a bit of a moan about that last time, didn't we? Saying,
I know.
Like, he shouldn't have got it, but now it's on our team. Are we
want it.
Are we happy with it?
Yeah. No, we're happy
making
with
sure
that,
we
yeah.
get the half, yeah.
We're happy with that. Hopefully in 97, is it going to be?
Back in 97, yeah.
I don't know if it's, hopefully it's somewhere different we can come and report on, but apart from that,
yeah.
Moving on to the geographical goat.
Well, do you want me to go first?
If you want.
Bernard Langer. Who went first last time?
I think I went first last time.
Yeah, so we're moving it to Germany. We've done Spain, and now we're into Germany, the geographical goat debate. Langer versus Keimer.
I've just thought that I was giving a shout out to Langer there, thinking that I had him, but I think I want to take that back now, really, because you've got him.
Well, that's not the only thing he'd done in 1993. That was one of his two Masters titles. He won in 1985 and then again in 1993 with the Woodbrowes driver.
Ah, sick.
Remember, yeah. So,
Anyone that is just joining the pod new, we had Dave from Woodbrowes on the podcast if you want to go and listen to that episode.
Yeah, great. Great bit of golf and history, wasn't it?
Oh, brilliant.
Into the golf manufacturing world. It was a great one to be part of, yeah. The first official world number one, he was.
I knew that.
The world rankings were first established in 1986, and he was the first man crowned it.
Great, that, isn't it?
Yeah. He reigned at the top of the game for two decades, the 1980s and the 1990s, and he's one of five players to win a professional tournament across all six continents where golf is played.
Sick.
Yeah. Obviously, we just spoke about the Masters wins there. Two of them, they were only his two major victories. He did finish second twice in the Open Championship as well. But at age 63, he became the oldest player to make the cut at the Masters.
Nice.
And he's still going. Now he's obviously joined the Seniors Tour at the age of 50, and he's won 11 of them already.
You see these people who can play Augusta, and they've got a Masters title to the name, they seem to go back quite and do quite well even into the late age, don't they?
Well, yeah, because they just know the course, they know the shots to play. They played there so many times. Well, God, I don't know how many times he's played there now, but it'll be in every year, even if it's every year since 85. What's that? Quick
good
maths,
few.
30 odds, 37 times, yeah, 36 times. So, no, there's no surprise, yeah. One thing I was surprised with, he's only won three times on the PGA Tour.
Has he, yeah?
I thought that'd be more, but obviously his history was being on the European Tour, 42 wins.
Nice.
He's had on the European Tour and in major championships, although he's only ever won two, he's made 74 cuts out of 109 starts. Bit of a Ryder Cup legend as well. He played in a total of 10 Ryder Cups, won five and captained the team in 2004. But I'm not going to tell you what happened there because I don't want to spoil it. What have we got on Keimer?
So, Martin Keimer, it was hard to obviously face him against Bernard Langer, isn't it? Because he's a legend of the game, and Keimer had his fall from grace, really, didn't he, as well? But from what he'd done actually leading up to getting to world number one and to being a major champion and stuff, I was watching, it was unbelievable. He was he's born in 1984, so you said Langer won the Masters in
85,
so... Yeah, he didn't even start playing golf till he was 10, and his dad took the Earl Woods approach with him and his brother. He used methods like he was shouting at them, he was very strict, and he didn't let them use tees unless it was in a competition.
Interesting.
To me, so he said when it
Drive off the deck.
So once you get into a competition, it'll feel easier.
Wow.
So I don't know if that's going to help or hinder, like, because you want to be practicing off the tee. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't really understand that one. Him and his brother Philip, they weren't allowed to play in the same tournaments as each other to not discourage each other. They were always encouraged to encourage each other.
Oh, so they'd never compete?
No, but they did once secretly end up going into a tournament together, and it was a match play, and they ended up getting to the final, both of them, and Philip ended up beating Martin.
Did he,
yeah. And then he didn't really do anything bigger as an amateur till he was 18, and he entered the Q school, to get his card in the Euro Pro version of... Germany, can't remember the name of it. And Martin ended up winning the tour school, the Q school, and Philip came last and gave up golf and become an accountant. Martin turned pro then shortly after that, and on the third tier in German golf, he won his first ever pro event that he played in.
Did he?
Yeah, by 5-19. And then that year, he won 5 out of 14 tournaments, and then quickly shot straight through to the Challenge Tour and won his first event.
Yeah.
But when he was on that Euro Pro Tour, he had a 59 as well. So he was like, he went through the major progression, won his first Challenge Tour event, played 8 events, won twice and finished 4th, and then went straight onto the European Tour. And then every time he played outside of Europe, he'd miss the cut. But then he'd play inside Europe and he'd do quite well.
Okay.
So it was a bit of a strange sort of indifferent start to his European Tour thing. But then... Yeah. That year, he came 6th at the Volvo Masters, finished 44th on the order of merit, and then won Rookie of the Year. So he's still having a progression sort of season. And then the next year, he overtook Langer as in the world's highest German ranked player.
Did he? Yeah.
Yeah. So that's just 3 years into his pro thing.
How old was Langer then?
I don't know, but Langer must have been on the come down, because that was around about 2005. That old, oh no, 2010, 9. One of the years.
Yeah.
He won Wire to Wire in Abu Dhabi, a couple of the big ones. I think he's won Abu Dhabi about 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, he's always done well there, hasn't he?
He likes it around there, yeah. And that got him into all the bigger comps. He won the Scottish Open in 2009, where that's his 4th win, and it took him inside the top 100 money earnings. It's quite a quick rise, isn't it?
Yeah,
he's only won 3 times or whatever to get to the top 100.
Winning big events, though, isn't he? Scottish Open in Abu Dhabi.
That's it, exactly.
Big money events, yeah.
And then 2010... He won the PGA Championship in a playoff with Bubba.
Yeah.
Do you remember when DJ grounded his club and got the penalty?
Yeah. What was it, bunker? Wasn't it a bunker?
Yeah, that sort of debacle. And then in 2010, he was the first player since Woods in 2006 to win 3 tournaments in a row. And then the first European to do this since Faldo in 1989, which got him up to 3rd in the world rankings. Then he won Abu Dhabi again, which got him to overtook Woods to 2nd place. And then he comes 2nd in the match play, and that took him to the summit of the game. So in 2010.
Yeah.
And then 2011, he reworked his swing to try and hit the draw. And it all went sort of downhill from there.
Yeah,
really,
wanted the draw to win the Masters, didn't
Which is a strange decision, thinking what you've just got to world number one, you're 25 years of age, you've got that sort of rise. Every year you've got better and better.
Yeah.
And then you go and change things.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing?
Makes you think who's in his head, doesn't it?
Well, exactly, yeah, 1,000,000%.
Or for one tournament as well, but maybe it's the fact that, obviously, I'm assuming Langer was his hero growing up,
the best
name in golf. Langer's won the Masters. Does he want to replicate that history of being another German to win the Masters?
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Well, then he had a couple of years, a bad season, 2013, not much to really talk about there. And 2014, he made the decision to join the PGA Tour, won the Players, and then he didn't really have much form going into 2014 US Open. Shot 65-65 and ended up winning at Pinehurst.
Brilliant.
So he's got 2 majors. And then he became the first non-British golfer to win the US Open. And one of few players to have 2 majors under 30. So he's still on a meteoric rise, really.
Yeah.
And then 2017 was plagued with the yips. And then 2017 had the wrist injury, and he's only just sort of getting back to anywhere near where he should be now. Like obviously this week he had a good first round, but like he's really been struggling ever since.
He has, he's not to say he's never got back to that position, but he hasn't, has he? But,
well, no, he definitely hasn't. No, when I was reading the thing about how he got the yips, he actually couldn't get the putter back. Like his mental thing took over and he literally couldn't do it.
It's crazy how that happens, isn't it?
Mad, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
But like as far as the GOAT goes, two majors under 30, like I know it was a landslide on the Instagram for Lango, wasn't it? But I think he's got a pretty good CV. Big man, hasn't he?
That's why he's part of the conversation, mate. Yeah, he's he's definitely a legend in the game and he'll be remembered forever, especially in Germany.
Well, it was him or Marcel Seam on it that we were going to do.
It was, yeah.
But no.
Well,
I enjoy looking into these sort of, like, all that old camera, I hardly didn't know most of it.
Yeah, that's what you only know from his rise sometimes. Don't
yeah, like I know he's world number one, but I didn't realise how he got there through the German Euro Pro.
No, definitely.
Third tier version. So.
Yeah, 100%.
That was good.
No, good go to bait again.
No, yeah.
Appreciate it. I hope
I'm going to put the vote back out there after people have listened to this because I don't think people understand what he's about.
You think he's got it now, do you?
Hopefully.
We'll see.
Yeah.
So a couple of events to review now. Yeah. Right then, two events to cover off now. We'll start on the PGA Tour with the John Deere.
The John Deere Classic, in its 50th year.
Oh, mad one, isn't it?
Yeah. It's good to see a sponsor keeping a grip on the event for that long, isn't it? Because they come in and out and go off the boil, don't they, Sam?
Yeah, definitely.
It's good, yeah.
One that Steve Stricker loves.
Yeah. He had a three-peat there, hasn't he?
Yeah, he won it three times. But he's a strange one. It's the US Senior Open this week, so shout out to David Shacklady there. He's playing this week. Good luck, Dave. Mad the way he's decided to play either in the US Seniors Open, though. Because he's playing isn't he?
Yeah, I think if you've won it three times, you probably, might get a bit of money for turning up or whatever. Not that he needs a few quid, but...
Yeah, I know what you mean,
Do you know what I mean? Like, you might get, a sponsor's invite or get him back.
I suppose, and a win on the PGA Tour gives you that couple of years exemption, doesn't it, as well? Exactly, so maybe
maybe he's after...
Well, you mentioned before, didn't you, about... You always see the older players who do well at the Masters or have won the Masters, they come back and they always seem to do well, so maybe it's just...
Well, do you remember when Tiger was the President's Cup captain and he shot a good round and he was the player and the captain?
Yeah.
And he was like, what do you think, Dave? He went, well, the player certainly got the captain's attention. Maybe he's after picking himself for the Ryder Cup.
Jeffin? Fact check.
Be sick though, wouldn't it?
Imagine Steve Stricker just rocking up.
Just went on a little run a couple of tournaments now. Just went, I'm picking myself.
I'm in, definitely. I know. We spoke about the Open a lot on this podcast. There's one spot available in the Open for the top five. One spot open to anyone who finishes in the top five that have not already qualified.
Oh, so you can't just, even if the top 15 have all qualified and you finish 16th, you can't get it? You have to finish top five,
yeah.
Interesting.
It is an interesting one, then, isn't it? Because in the Irish Open, it was top three that haven't already qualified.
Well, that's what I thought it would be. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Well, there's 15 players in the field that have already qualified.
That's what if you could shoot a boss score, be the highest finisher, and then five better scores than you, then you don't get the Open. It's a bit, who gets the pit, gets the
Where does
spot?
That spot go, It'd be interesting to see where that spot goes, Hudson Swafford's in the field, so it's his last chance to get in the Open, because he needed to either finish top 20 in the FedEx, didn't he?
Yeah.
Or qualify through other means, so
if
he's not...
We
might have to change the date of the golf day and just push it for the week after the Open.
Yeah. Dylan Vercelli there, two-shot victory last year, defending champion.
Yeah.
He's put on a bit of distance well since then as well, hasn't he? So it's really, like at the Masters, he was bombing it, wasn't he?
Well, that's it, yeah. This is the reason he got in at the Masters, wasn't it? For his maiden appearance at Augusta, and obviously took full advantage of it, didn't he? Was he one of the ones who finished in the top eight and gets back next year? He was, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So, and he's been a bit off form since then, but...
No, I haven't heard much about him, to be honest, yeah.
Coming, like you say, he has added a bit of distance, and, what's this? 7,268 par 71.
Yeah, it's always good knowing that when you're going back to the place that you've won, you always seem to...
Them feelings.
...defending champion, don't you? Yeah.
How many places have you been back on where you've won?
Well, I went to Mia, and I won the Lee Westwood Trophy in 2004, and it was shite. I'm not a PGA Tour pro, so
not yet.
These boys, they get them buzzers, don't they, around the weeks, and that's why Stricker's won it three times in a row, do you know what I mean?
Possible 59 on the cards, there's been one, hasn't there?
Yeah, Guidos.
But
on the same day that he done that, Stricker shot a 60.
Yeah.
So it's, imagine shooting 59 and only leading by one.
Well, plenty of risk reward holes out there. You've got four par fours that are under 400 yards. So to them, it's for like your likes of Fratelli, it's a driver and a flick, isn't it?
Yeah.
And all the par fives are reachable in two. I think the longest one's 580. So
not no 777s, nothing about.
No 777s, nothing about on this one, no. Definitely not. But
TPCD, everyone. So it's obviously something that's going to stay at this.
It's always there, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I mean, like, once they change the name of it, it's like, got to be forever, surely.
Yeah. Well, when I was over in America, this course hosted the national championships.
Ah, right. Yeah,
I never got to play in it, but this hosted that tournament. Danny Jones played it.
Did he? Yeah,
Danny's played it. Yeah, the year before sick. I got there, Danny played it. I think he done all right, you know. Yeah, never won or nothing, but I think the team, because the way it works over there, it's five players playing your varsity team, and it's the best four scores. His score counted as one of the best four, so decent. Something to shout about.
Yeah.
I don't know if he got the best score.
I mean, you were in America, like on the PGA Tour now?
No.
No.
Well,
like, for a fact, or you just don't know?
No, definitely no for a fact, yeah. No. There was a couple of really good players. There was a Canadian lad called Morgan. I don't know what he ended up doing, to be honest. He just went back to Canada. And then there was a couple of Swedish brothers. Twins, or just brothers. One's still out there now, but they were like really good players. And then Rich Doch.
Oh, yeah.
My mate, yeah. He played varsity as well. He was really good, but no, just, you know, we were NAIA at the time. But they've moved up now, the university, to NCAA Division 2. When you're more... The lads who go from NCAA Division 1 players were like your schools were like your Ricky Fowler and
then go to.
And they're the ones who normally progress. It doesn't mean it doesn't happen from NAIA, no, there was nobody.
I wonder if any of them took like the Corn Ferry sort of route and then are having a go still out there.
Do you know what? I don't even know whether any of them even turned professional, you know?
No. Interesting though, little thing.
I think the American college experience just swallowed us all and spat us out the other side. Yeah.
The booze happened now.
That's it, yeah.
That's it.
And then obviously we've got the main event, the Rolex event over at the Scottish Open. Yeah.
It's mad, like I was saying on the Birdie Bogey Bus segment, like, they're putting an extra £1 million on this because it's obviously Rolex, so it's sponsored, but it's like, it's attracting some big boys, isn't it?
Well, that's it. Five of the top 10 in the world, are they? Yeah. So, you know, you've got the world number one, John Rahm's back, isn't he? So
probably still drinking now, isn't he?
Hopefully.
Hopefully, yeah.
Disappointed if he isn't.
Actually turned up all sweated. Yeah, John Rahm, Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, Xander Schauffele, recently just got married.
Yeah.
Rory, Tyrrell, Scotty Scheffler, Matt Fitzpatrick. Like, there's a... big field out there.
They're all there, yeah. And you just got to look back at the past winners as well. 1999, Colin Montgomery became the first Scottish winner of the event, so it'll be interesting to see if another Scotsman can get there. No, Conor Symes in the field. Ewan played last year, but he, I don't think...
Grant Forrest, he done well last week.
Grant Forrest played well last week, top 10 finish. So, you know, Stephen Gallagher as well. Yeah. He always pops, he's getting on a bit now, but he always pops up and does well, doesn't he? So
this was where Tommy got into a playoff, didn't he, with Aaron Rye last year?
Yeah, and he missed a small putt. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sick of that.
And then Aaron Rye went on to win it, so...
I was just looking, I was speaking about the $8 million there. Do you know what the first ever purse for this event was in 1972?
$4,000.
Ten.
The whole pairs.
1972, it's not like that long ago to just be that low, do you know what I mean?
$10,000, yeah.
It's low, that, isn't it?
Mm.
It shocked me. So I thought to bring it to the table. And I knew, here's a mad stat for you. Andy Murray was come out just for the Scottish Open and it's Wimbledon. That he liked to be a caddy.
Yeah, I've seen bring that.
Some like mental edge to the players.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, what?
Yes, he wants
to go.
He's
looking for a bag for the week.
Well, he crashed out of the Wimbledon state sets, didn't he? I think it was the third round, was it?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he's got injuries now, hasn't he? So
yeah,
I don't know what 4 days carrying a bag around is going to do for his injuries. I know, it's not the easiest job in the world, is it?
It's weird, isn't it? I just thought it was an absolute mental statement.
Maddest one ever. Maybe he's just thinking Scottish Open, go home, I'll carry the bag, but I won't be going anywhere else.
Yeah.
Not like he needs the money, is it? Let's be honest. I know.
Well, we were looking into maybe getting up there, weren't we? It's at the Renaissance Club in North Berwick.
Yeah.
7,293 yards, so it's about an average.
Some track.
Test, isn't it?
Some track, yeah, definitely. We've got heavy rain forecast Tuesday and Wednesday, which will soften the conditions, but not on schedule for the rest of the week, so.
That's nice.
Yeah.
It's the wind as well, it's not right on the coast, isn't it? It's
Wind definitely going to
over for, isn't it?
Yeah.
To prepared them for the British Open.
That's it, yeah. I think the lads, I know the five of the top ten are there in the world, but the ones who haven't come over to play in it, I know I'm preaching here because I always go on about like they shouldn't be allowed to come over if they're not coming over all the time. But I think for this event, it is does get you built up nicely for the Open, doesn't it?
Of course, yeah. And you're on the time difference. You're on to you're playing links golf. You're with the weather, like
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You can fly over from Orlando next week, like it. It's a different world,
isn't
it? Even in the middle of July,
didn't it? Oh, definitely, yeah. Definitely would be interesting to see.
Forward to watching it.
But yeah, be interesting to see how they do and how they all fare, and give you a good little indication of who's going to be playing well, playing the right type of shots for Royal St. George's next week, which we're looking forward to. Good one to add to the list as well. Other past winners, Ernie Els went wire to wire when he won the Scottish Open, and Phil Mickelson's won the Scottish Open as well.
Nice. When was that? I think I remember that.
Wasn't it, I think 2014, maybe, around that time, yeah. That was at Loch Lomond, when Phil won, I'm pretty sure it was.
It was years, wasn't it, in a row?
Was it?
Yeah. As I mentioned before, Martin Kahn was a past champion.
Oh, yeah.
But speaking of it, who are you going for?
Pot one, John Ram.
Yeah. Shock.
Gotta be, innit?
Well, I was going to pick
only because Corda's not in the field.
Yeah, I knew you were going to do that, so I went away from him. I've gone for Higo. Gallic Higo.
Shock. That's like the third time you picked him as well. But he's done all right as well, like on the PGA Tour. You said, yeah. Didn't he, the PE wants to go to stay in...
Oh, you're going to play the Sunshine and all
Sunshine,
that.
Sunshine, yeah. Come on, mate. Yeah, you're not happening. My second pick, I've gone for Adrian Aus. Just with him getting the spot for the Olympics, I just think he's on a bit of a buzz right now, and
yeah,
just he's done well in the European Tour all season. Really, he's a good cut maker.
He was at Formula last week getting a putting lesson, so they can put that into practice.
Yeah,
he'll do well.
Definitely.
I've gone for Grant Forrester, like we were just talking about then, because he's Scottish and he did well. That's what he was doing well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, I've gone Scottish for pot three. Conor Syme, I've gone.
Yeah.
Made the cut of the Scottish Open last year. Obviously, you'll know the area, know the conditions, know the weather. So, gone for a bit of a Scottish theme.
Well,
for...
Conor Simon, and then my last pick begin with G as well, so then I picked someone begin with G for my third one.
Is it not Mikey McKeown?
Graham McDowell I've gone for.
Interesting,
he's always a past champion as well.
He made the cut. He had a good second round at the at the Irish Open last week. So, I made the cut, so
there's him well.
Definitely.
I know he's lost a bit of form. I think I seen an interview with him talking about like how people are talking about him giving up, and he's just like, it kills him to think about it.
Yeah, but no, like, he's still got it. There's plenty in the tank, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he's been having some problems, do you know what I mean? So there was talk of it and it killed him off, so he's got a new lease of fire.
New lease of fire, yeah. Well, he did go, I can't remember where I heard it, on some golf show, but he went more into his business. I know he's bought a few bars and things in America, and he's obviously just setting up his future, really.
Oh, that's it,
no problem, no problem people doing that, but obviously that's obviously maybe where the dip of form's come, where he's concentrating on something else. But no, be interested to see how he does. But this season alone shows you that like age is not number a number, because you look at the lads in the late 30s, 40s, Richard Bland, Martin Laird still winning on the PGA Tour. You know, there's nothing saying that over the next 12 months he can't come back and get himself back in the top 50 in the world.
Mm-hmm. Remember we were talking about last week about that fella who qualified for the PGA Tour?
Jeff Roth.
Yeah. Well, I read one about Dick Mast, and he's 70, and he shot 65 and got onto the seniors tour and qualified.
In the US Senior Open?
No, for the Dick Sporting Goods last week.
Oh, okay, the tournament.
70, do you know what I mean?
70.
So, right, as you say, he's not got a number, completely backed up there.
Inspirational, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty great to see.
Who are you going for?
I've kept it in Scotland. I've gone for Stephen Gallagher.
Pot
four's a tough one, but you know, I just think he's at home, and he, you know, it's he'll have there's crowds there, so they'll be behind him. So
no, definitely.
And he's a decent enough player. So
yeah, I've gone for Gavin Green, just because he was a G.
No, but look, can't wait for it. Love this little swing, yeah, this little stretch, yeah, when it's back here. And hopefully we can get down there. One of the days and get some content, yeah. Speak to a few of the lads and see how everyone's doing.
That's it, 100%.
But all's left to say is hope everyone enjoys the golf. And we'll catch up with you very soon.
Ciao.
Oh, we topped it. Whoa, Cole topped it.
Okay. Better get up. Yeah.
Okay, Darren. Oh, we shanked it. Oh, look at that line, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy, is he out of sync.